Hey everybody, so today we are going to talk about the dangers of hustle culture and why we need to address our need to overwork ourselves in order to feel fulfilled in our lives. So we're also going to talk about, just in our own way, casually, also about the financial aspects, inflation, increased housing costs, low-paying jobs, and the inability for some people to even catch a break because we're working so hard to make ends meet. I do want to read you some information from an article we're going to link in the show notes, but it says recent research has revealed that the United States is the most overworked developed nation in the world. And according to the International Labor Organization, Americans work 137 hours per year more than Japanese workers and 260 more hours per year than British workers and 299 more hours per year than French workers. That's a lot. Basically, we work a lot.
That's crazy.
And all of this overworking is taking its toll. So 83% of workers say that they are stressed about their jobs. 50% say their sleep is affected by work stress. 60% use their smartphone to check their check in with work during the evening or on weekends. Oh my gosh, this used to be me all the time. So basically, though, the risks to this type of hustling and overworking are very dangerous. And there's risks of heart attacks, diabetes, accelerated aging. This contributes to mental health problems. And it's a really big issue because stress-related health problems make up 90% of hospital visits. And the negative effects really don't stop there. There's a wide body of research linking overwork with sleep disturbances. Chronic sleep debt can turn into an increase in the risk of obesity, heart disease, stroke, and diabetes. And to top it all off, people who work more than 48 hours per week are more likely to engage in risky alcohol use. So,
wow.
All of that to say, we live in such a hustle culture in our society today, and it can be very damaging to our health, especially during this pandemic. So before we get into the details and start asking each other questions, I'm going to do a rapid fire, tell me, but don't check me question segment with Catherine. This is going to talk about questions relating to our working style, how we are at home. So this is going to be really quick. I'm going to make Catherine go first. Okay, are you ready?
Okay, yes, I'm ready.
Okay, do you finish things early or do you procrastinate?
Procrastinate, 100%.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Music or silence?
So this one depends on what I'm doing. Like if I'm reading something, I need silence. If I'm writing something, I need either like music or like I like it to listen to podcasts. So it like, especially in the pandemic, it gives me the like coffee shop feeling so that other people's like ambient noise. So I could go either way with music or silence, depending on what I'm working on.
Meetings or emails?
Emails. Most of your meetings could be an email. Let's just be real.
Marco Polo or Voxer?
Marco Polo. I like to see your smiling face.
Love it. Group project or work solo?
I would say work solo unless it's a very well-defined group project with like specific roles that we know. And if I get to pick the people on my team, because you can't do a group project with everybody. You know, that's just
so basically solo.
Basically, so you know, I just need, you know, it's the 8 control freak in me. Okay, your turn.
Wait, there's a few more.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Would you rather have more pay and less time or more time and less pay?
Would you say more time? When you say more time, do you mean like more time off?
Yeah, just like more free time.
More
of your own time.
I think more of my own time and less pay.
Work out or sit in silence?
Sit in silence.
Read or watch TV?
Read.
Cooking or eating out?
Ugh, never cooking. Eating out.
Okay, now I'm done.
Okay, your turn. Okay, do you like to finish things early or do you like to procrastinate?
Procrastinate. My best work is done at the last minute.
Yeah, same. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Music or silence?
Like you, it depends, but sometimes I really like silence. But if I need inspiration while I'm writing, I need to be listening to like music that fills my soul. So right now while I'm writing the book, I need to be listening to like Solange. and anything that's like black girl magic. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Solange is great. Writing music. Okay. Meetings or emails?
Emails all the way. I hate pointless meetings. Hate it.
Marco Polo or Voxer?
I use Voxer more, so I'm going to say Voxer. I only use Marco Polo for one person, but I do like Marco Polo.
Group project or work solo?
Solo.
More pay, less time, or more time and less pay?
More time and less pay, because time is priceless, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Workout or sit in silence?
Sit in silence. I really want to say workout, honestly, but I really hate it. I do when I do workout. I'm so proud of myself. And I feel like I should have lost 10 pounds for that, right? Anyways, but sit in silence.
I feel like this is like a safe zone. We need to be like our full selves. I too would have liked to say workout, but I'm like, reality. I'm bringing my full self to the podcast. So I appreciate you doing the same. Read or watch TV?
Watch TV.
Cooking or eating out?
Cooking.
Cooking.
I love cooking, so you know.
We're like totally opposite in that. Like, I feel like cooking stresses me out. Okay, so those were just some fun questions to get us warmed up, but some questions to just also let you know a little bit more about us and our work style and how we relax and how we deal with work.
Yes. So, Catherine, we're going to talk about this whole hustle culture life. Feel free throughout these questions, like as we talk, we can also throw in our thoughts on society, overworking people, people being underpaid, things like that. This is a really relaxed conversation for those of you who don't know. But here's the thing. How do you deal with feeling like there's not enough hours in the day to get everything done?
So I will say, for like me personally, I think I hit a wall with this when I turned 30. And so like my mindset has totally changed. And so I think there's an answer that I would give you in my 20s. But now in my 30s, I would say I just accept it. And I make lists, and I'm like, these are the three, depending on how I'm feeling and the, like what's going on. Like, these are the 3 to 5 things I have to get done today.
Yeah.
And then these are the things maybe like this week or this month that I need to get done, and like work on those things as they come. As someone who has dealt with anxiety, like one of my mom's, you know, most famous mantras that she says to me all the time is, the way you eat an elephant is one bite at a time.
Yeah.
So I feel like for me, where I've come, it's like when there's not enough hours in the day, it's like sometimes that can bring on like an anxiety attack or like analysis paralysis. So then it's just like very helpful for me to go to my list of like, these are the 3 things I'm doing today. And I know I have more than that to do, but like, I'm doing these 3 things, and then I will feel accomplished and, you know, like go on with it. And I think, you know, people are always like, well, Beyonce has the same 24 hours. And I'm like, Beyonce is a billionaire. She has a cook. She has a nanny. She has like 80 assistants. And so, yes, we are dealing. I love her. We are dealing with the same 24 hours.
Right.
But it's just me. And so I need to have more realistic goals of what I can accomplish for myself.
Very true. And what do you like have to say for this particular, just like what you're saying, I only have so many hours in a day to get things done, when we also have people who are on a different socioeconomic status than us. Those hours might look a little bit different. Like, some people might be going from like one job to the next because they need the money and they cannot sustain themselves unless they have these 2 jobs. Like, what does that look like? Or, you know, what would you say to even that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's so hard. I mean, I feel like a lot of this conversation, I think you're having 2 different levels of conversation. I think for certain people, it is a privilege to say, like, I can cut things out or I cannot do things. And then for other people, it's not. And I think, you know, for people that are having to work multiple jobs, I mean, this is why, you know, we talk about advocacy and we talk about systems. To me, you know, this is why, you know, I'm an advocate for like a living wage, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't think that someone should have to work more than 40 hours a week to be able to like feed themselves and their families and, you know, pay for a place to live and that kind of thing. And so I think you're dealing with, like, I think they're, you know, I think it's helpful when we're having these conversations, most of the conversations we have on the podcast, to be thinking both at the individual level and the systemic level. And I would say for someone who has to work multiple jobs and is raising a family, you know, and is maybe a single mom, like, you know, first of all, you're doing a great job, you know,
yeah.
And like you're, you know, killing it. And, you know, I, you know, let me be one to say that I commend you, that you, you know, are making lemonade out of like lemons and it sucks. And you shouldn't have to do that. Like you should have the same. To me, it's like, to me as a Christian, if I believe that like family and like flourishing is about more than what you do, like everybody, regardless of your socioeconomic level, should have that space to read and, you know, take time with their family and go to the park and go to PTA meetings and those kinds of things. And so I also think for those of us that maybe are on the other side of that privilege, like what does it look like for us to be, I think, more understanding in our expectations, mm-hmm. More kind, and then also too, what does it look like to share that burden, so that, yeah, like we're not just saying, well, you know, good for me, I get vacation days and I just need to be better. And some of you do need to be better about taking your vacation days,
yeah.
But also too, like for me, this is why like I'm a big advocate of like paid family leave being, you know, mandatory across the board, because I do think that, you know, if you work an hourly job, like you should also be able to take time
Absolutely.
Off to have babies, to go to your kids' PTA meetings. And that should not just be a privilege of white collar workers. So that's, I don't know if that answers your questions, but that's
no,
what
it
I
does.
Would say.
It's really good. And I think it's just like something we have to keep in mind. And it's a question that I wanted to ask at the beginning, because a lot of what we're talking about is very individual to us, right? And what we do and how we handle it. But we can never forget the fact that even these opportunities that we have are still privileges in and of themselves. And you might not even think about it, but if you have a job where you can work your 40 or so hours a week, you don't have to have another job. Just that simple thing in itself is a privilege. So whether you hate your job or not, just remember that there is still some level of privilege to what you have, to be grateful for what you do have, because on the other side of that, we're literally in the middle of a major housing crisis within our country. And so many people are homeless. So many people still do not have jobs as a result of the pandemic. And many people still do not have a living wage and have been deeply affected by this. So as we talk more about hustle culture and how it's affecting us individually, let's not forget the people around us that are experiencing things on a much deeper level and even more serious level. And we have to keep those tensions in mind and also do our part to advocate with our lawmakers to help them provide better solutions and policies and, once again, a livable wage to help those in the community.
Yeah, no, I think that's really important. And I think, you know, I think most people should always be thinking about these issues on multiple levels. Like, what does this mean for me to resist hustle culture? But what does it mean also too for me to be a part of a resistance of this? Because like, yeah, like it's literally to your point of the statistics you read off in the beginning, it's killing people.
Mm-hmm.
Like that kind of stuff like shortens people's lives. And so to say that it's okay that some, you know, a single mom that has to work at Amazon and at McDonald's has to live 10 years a shorter time because, you know, we don't support $15 an hour, paid family leave, affordable childcare. Like, that's crazy to me. And so, but yeah, I appreciate, I'm excited to have this conversation because I do think it's important. And I want people, to your point, to think about in your own life how you're pushing yourself beyond your limits, but how, you know, you might have a little bit more flexibility than others. And like, what does it mean to care about people that don't have that same level of privilege? Okay, so how do you move past faith? How do you move past feeling that feeling of being mentally stuck when you need to get something done or when you're just starting a task? Like, how do you get yourself started if you're feeling stuck?
Girl, I mean, first of all, I stress about the task at hand. And I think about it and I think about it and I think about it some more. And I think about how I don't want to do it. And then I think about how I'm going to get it accomplished. And then I just don't do it until I reach a point, usually at the latter, you know, the fifth hour, the end And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. And then I sit down, and whether it's like the day before, 2 days before, however tight of a window it is, that I need to get something done, I literally sit down and I make myself just knock it out and do it. Now, is this always the healthiest way to do it? Absolutely not. I wish I could tell you that I was just like always love to do things early. I don't know what it is, but I just work well under pressure. And I wish that I could tell you that I didn't, but that's just a fact. I work well under pressure. But in order for me to get moving, right, to do the thing, in order to get myself out of my head and into that next place where I'm like, okay, I'm going to actually start doing this thing that I need to do, I typically, like your mom was saying, like just one bite at a time, I remind myself that all I need to do is get started. So for example, whenever there's just something I'm dreading doing, I know that I might need to put my phone away and either turn it off or put it in another room. Sit down, get my head ready to complete whatever the task is that I need to get done. So that way I can begin it and take away the distractions, because it's the distractions that's keeping me from actually taking action and getting that thing done. And sometimes even setting a timer, like I'm going to try to get myself to do this thing for an hour and get myself to work on it for an hour, knock it out. And then that makes me feel really accomplished because I put some things on my list to do and I started to get it done. And that's what makes me feel like, oh, just incredible.
Yeah. No, that's, yeah, I'm the same way. I do think for me, I do work well under pressure. I hate that I'm a procrastinator though, because at least with grad school, I can definitely see instances where I could have done better if I'd given myself more time. You know, I can do pretty well under pressure procrastinating, but it's not like my best. But for me, I think sometimes I recognize that my procrastination is tied to both my perfectionism and also to sometimes anxiety. And so one of the things that helps me when I'm really feeling that is just to like sit down, like you said, start a timer. Couple things. I like make a list of, I break writing, I'll use writing as an example. I break it into multiple tasks. So like if it's something that I need to like do research for, it's like, okay, so I need to like do research. I need to look up these articles, you know, have a draft, you know, turn it in. And that like really list and being able to check things off my list is so motivating. I write things down on my to-do list that I've already done sometimes to help myself get started. So I think, and then I just, to your point of like setting a timer. So I'm like, I'm going to spend an hour researching. Because the other thing I sometimes do, for those of you that are not Enneagram people, eights, when they're in an unhealthy place, go to five. And so they're like trying to use like information as a source of like control, to like gain control. So like I over research or I spend hours doing it. And so setting a timer helps me deal with that like anxious tendency. And then sometimes I think the thing is, I think we also build things up in our head more than they need to be. And so sometimes it's like, let me set a timer for 25 minutes and just get through as many emails as I can get through. And then it's done. And it's like, and usually it's like, it takes 10 minutes to respond.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that was way easier than I thought, which is so true.
And so then it's like, I have been putting this off for days for no reason. And so, yeah, I think one of the things is to just to start. I will also say one of the things, you know, as a like writing is your process is your process. Yeah. I used to feel really bad that, you know, I'm not someone who can wake up early and spend 3 hours straight writing. And that's just not my process. And like, that's okay. And for people that is their process, that's great. I think figuring out what works for you and like living into that more. So like my thing is like setting a timer, and like my peak hours are late at night. Like one of my favorite editors, I like love her for a publication, because if I email her at 2 a.m., she's usually awake. And like, that's my process. And like, it might not work for everybody, but it works for me. So I would also say, don't feel bad about your, like, don't waste time focused on the fact that you should have a different process. You know, figure out how to make your process work for you.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Has the pandemic affected the way that you work? And have you felt more pressure to produce working from home rather than being in an office setting?
It's weird. I'm like a coffee shop girl. I work a lot in coffee shops. It's really hard for me to work at home. And I think I have been intentional about that, of like my home space being a place of relaxation and comfort and hospitality. And so this whole like working from home thing and like having them be in the same place, I don't feel as productive, but I will say I have probably written more and publish more this year than any, at least it feels that way. Like, it has been a struggle. I won't say it has been easy. I think what I attribute that to is I really think living into my process is my process, and just being like, it is okay that I work at, you know, from 11 to 2 are my peak.
Yeah.
Like 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. are my like peak writing hours, and like that, and being okay with that. And I also think just, you know, some other just like, you know, feeling more comfortable in my own voice and just like getting words out or whatever. But I do feel like, you know, now that I'm like vaccinated and being able to go to coffee shops again has just done wonders for like my own ability to like resist hustle culture. I will say, yeah, that's probably also a big difference. I think the pandemic, I work late at night much more now than I did before the pandemic. I think when I could go to coffee shops, I had more normal working hours, I would say.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think that, gosh, I feel like I actually worked more during the pandemic than before. Because, you know, you had other more definitive things going on in person. And even though I mostly worked from home even before the pandemic, you still didn't have those few days that you go into the office or anything like that. And so I worked a ton more, and I honestly felt like I was in some ways never not working. Like, it was just a constant, I'm just working, working, working. And so I definitely was that person that's like, you're on quote unquote vacation, but I'm still checking my email. I'm still trying to help people. I'm still trying to answer questions. Like, and so I think it's that pressure that, okay, when you're not in the office or you're not in that office setting, but you still just feel like you just have to work. And so I think that is something that I really saw for myself. But now that, you know, I have like, you know, adjusted and shifted in my career to full-time working for myself, that's the one thing that I am constantly pondering is like, how am I working? Once again, like you're saying, Catherine, trusting my own process. For me, I will ingest information listening to audiobooks, I'll read books, whatever, and it will just all go in. All the information will go in. And then I will sit down at some point and hit a flow with writing, and the words will just come out. And it makes no sense because it's not like I'm like sitting around writing a bunch of notes. I just like, all the information comes in. It's like I'm mentally thinking about it and I'm processing it and I'm mulling over it and I'm thinking about it some more. And it just prompts different thoughts and discussions in my mind. And then I can get to a point to where I can write. And I think that, like you're saying, you just have to kind of learn those things about yourself. And when you do, it like opens up like a layer of, you know, like mental freedom. But I do think it's so important to watch like how we're working and the amount that we're working, especially when we're at home, because it's really easy to overwork ourselves.
Yeah, no, that's so true. So how do you find a healthy way not to overwork yourself, especially in a hustle culture? Because there's this feeling like you can always be doing more. There's always something to be done. And so how do you kind of resist and then find a healthy place of like working and being productive, but not like overworking yourself?
I think acknowledging the fact that there will always be something to do. You will never get away from there always being something to do. And the fact that you have to choose yourself even in the midst of there always being something. So what do I mean by that? We're never going to get away from the fact that there's a lot of work to be done and somebody will always need something from you. You just have to choose to love yourself enough to say no to all of the things and all of the could be's, all of the should have, could have, would have's, all of the, we have this upcoming project coming up. Of course, there's always going to be something, but you have to let no become your friend. And I think that far too often, myself included, just out of wanting to please and wanting to just do your best, even in work, we say yes to almost everything. We rarely say no. And the only way to not overwork ourselves is to say no to things and not take on more than we can handle. And it's easier said than done, but I think that we have vilified the word no, right? Like, you're not supposed to say no. We say no to children all the time when they are little, they're babies, they're toddlers. No, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. And we never really teach people as adults how to make wise decisions for themselves and also how to say no. That saying no isn't like some really bad thing. Saying no is also healthy as well, because saying yes to everything puts us in predicaments where we're not even going to be our best selves or show up as our best selves because we're so committed to doing what everybody else wants us to do, even if it's things that we want to do or we think it's a good idea to do. Yes isn't the right answer for everything, because we can't be everything to everyone and be who we need to be to ourselves. So my answer is no. Just say no more.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I think it's really helpful to think about, to the extent that you can, this is like journaling and like spiritual direction and maybe counseling, thinking about the season of life that you're in, what are your priorities for this season? And then feeling like you're not committing yourself to that forever. So in this season, maybe it's your family. For me, I'm getting ready to be at the end of a season where it was grad school. And so there were a lot of things that I had to say no to because I was like, my priority is saying yes to grad school. And I think sometimes we feel like, to your point about saying no, that it's a bad thing, but also too, sometimes no is the best thing for us. Right?
Yeah.
Like, you're saying no to this good thing so you can say yes to a better thing, a thing that you're more called to do in this season. And I think, you know, what I would say is with hustle culture is like, don't feel bad if you're saying no to spend more time with your family. I think we devalue, I think, the work of mothers, the work of caregiving generally for people that take care of elderly parents. Maybe you're like a foster parent or whatever. And because that's not work that you're paid for, there's like this sort of, you know, minimization of its importance. But that work is so important. And so feeling like if you need to say no to something in your career or something else at your church or whatever community so you can say yes to your family, like, don't feel bad about that. And related to that, and going back to sort of our earlier point, if you're someone who qualifies for government benefits, whether it's SNAP or Medicaid or whatever, accept the help so that you can, like, don't let people make you feel bad for accepting that help that's available and that you qualify for so that you could be available to go to your kids' soccer games or, you know, if you qualify for free or reduced lunch, your kids do, take that help. In the same way, people of means can hire babysitters or cooks.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, it's the same sort of thing. And then the last thing I will say is, you know, just for Christians, when you look at the pattern of creation, on the seventh day, God rested. He took a Sabbath. He is trying to show us something. I think even if you look at the seasons, right, like that winter is dormant and things are resting underground. Like, we're not made for seasons of continuous productivity. It's like in farming, like, you over farm, you damage the land if you farm it every season or you harvest every season. And I think it's Zora Neale Hurston talks about there are listening years, or there's just a time in your life for like silence. And so what is thinking through like what season you're in, so that you can be your most productive self. I will say the practice of Sabbath has made me a more effective worker because I have to plan in my mind that from like Saturday at like 8 till Sunday at 8, I'm not gonna like be doing work-related things. Like that doesn't mean I'm like laying around, sitting around in silence. Like, you know, it might be reading a book or it might be, you know, doing something with my students. Like it's not that I'm not working, but it's like I'm resting. And so it's things that I find to be life-giving and regenerative and not just thinking about like producing. So I would say, you know, accepting help, accepting your limits, and figuring out what season of life you're in. And maybe this is a winter season so that you can, your harvest can be greater at some other point in life.
That's so true. And I think that one of the things that you're saying, which is so good for us to remember, is like we're not made to just be these over hyper productive humans like 24/7. That's just not like how it's supposed to be. And so like that's what we need to embrace. And I really felt like this is something good for us to talk about that we wanted to talk about because, gosh, we're in the middle still of a pandemic and there's so much going on. People are exhausted. Exhausted from overworking, tired of being in their houses, feeling like, you know, we just need a shift and a change and people are just spread thin. So as we're moving into another phase of the pandemic, how can we honor ourselves, our hearts, and our lives by choosing not to overwork ourselves and over hustle about every single little thing? It's possible, y'all. Like Catherine was saying, take some time, journal, assess your life, you know, talk to God. What does the next phase and season of my life need to look like? What can I let go of in like a healthy way? Okay, Catherine, so do you believe in balance? Is it achievable? And if it is not achievable, how do we manage our lives in a way that honors our humanity and the commitments that we have outside of work and school?
Yeah, I don't believe in balance. I think it's important to look at your life as more of like a pie. I'm still workshopping this analogy, so if it doesn't fully work, make sense. But like that at different points in your life, different slices of pie are going to be smaller or larger. And yeah, figuring out what makes sense for any given season and being okay with that. And also, too, recognizing that maybe in one season for me, like to be a rock star daughter means that I'm not going to be that great of a student and like just being okay with that. Right. And I know that's like really hard for people. But I also think, I mean, really, to me, this question comes down to is like, does your view of flourishing, does your, for Christians, your theology of work include rest and care and cultivation beyond just what you do? And if it does, you could be doing well and maybe not turning in your best work at work. Not because you, like, to quote my mother again, it is the best work you can give in this season of life. So it's not that you're not trying, but it's like with all the other things that you have going on, this is the best that I can do. And so I think it's important to kind of have this like, you know, listening to your kind of life and figuring out in what season, what slices of pie need to be bigger or smaller. And then the smaller pieces just being okay with like letting those things go. So like, you know, if you're someone who's really committed to work, maybe you don't have as much time to like hang out with your friends and like see them every weekend and like go to dinner parties. But knowing that this is temporary, like that shouldn't be your life all the time. This is temporary. And then coming back to it. But yeah, I think for you have to have a vision of your life, find meaning in places beyond work and achievement. And I think that's really important. And I think taking time to figure out if you had to introduce yourself to someone and you couldn't say anything about your degrees or your job, what would you say? And I think a way to like deal with work and school and commitments is those other things that you would say, are those a part of your pie and your idea of flourishing and being your best self?
I love that because I think, and this is something I've been pondering on, who am I? What am I? How do I identify myself outside of the work that I do? And I think it's really important for us to ask ourselves those questions. who am I outside of what I do? And if you don't know who you are outside of what you do, and if the flourishing of yourself and the idea of flourishing is solely centered around the work that you do, then I think you need to revisit, ask yourself some deeper questions so that you can come to a point of saying, oh, okay, like holistically, let me examine my heart and my life and, you know, get to a place where I really do feel like I'm actually in a place of flourishing. I'm examining this pie and making sure that it is reflective of where I'm at right now. That's so good, Catherine. Yes. Keep mulling over that. Bless us with all of this amazing things that you're saying right now.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I think that's right.
So anyways, with that being said, take those nuggets. Just sit on them. And now it is time for our favorite segment and yours. Go off, sis. Okay, so I am going to start off with mine, what I'm loving right now. Let me just tell you, this is a segment where we talk about what we love, our bless, and what is a mess. And for me right now, I am fully vaccinated. Thank God. And I have, as we're talking about how we're caring for ourselves, I have taken myself to some socially distanced brunches to eat solo, and I have loved it. Let me tell you, pre-pandemic, this was one of my favorite things to do. I am one of those people you will see eat at a restaurant by themselves. I used to think that was so weird when I was younger, but I am that person. Like in my adult life, like I enjoy my own company. I do not mind being by myself. I do not mind, you know, sitting at the table, enjoying a good brunch by myself. I love it. I love it. Anyway, so I've been doing that and that's been so amazing. Handmaid's Tale is back. Haven't even started watching it, but it is back. And my mess, okay, Married at First Sight, mess, okay? I promise you, other people who are fans of the show, along with myself, have talked, and we really feel like the producers botched this season, like they made it a mess on purpose. And so that's all I have to say about that. They know they did wrong and they shouldn't have done it. The other thing is Kiss Me More by Doja. Listen, The kids on TikTok are saying it's a Target store song. But you know what? I have a feeling they are going to be jamming to that song in a few months' time. The only reason they're not doing it now is because they've given it so much flack in the beginning. But it's catchy. It's catchy. It's a bop. So that's all I have to say. Catherine, what are your things?
Yeah, so my thing that I... let me start negative and end on a positive note. my mess is Chadwick Boseman not winning his Best Actor Oscar.
That was terrible.
I have not, this, here's what just is so crazy, is that clearly the Academy thought he was going to win, and so they wanted to end with his widow's aspirational words about her husband and his art, and then that didn't happen. The ending was super weird. Joaquin, like, Phoenix is just normally weird, and mm-hmm. was not the person to, like, handle that very awkward situation. But I also feel like it's just... you know, frustrating to me because he'll never have an opportunity to, like, win again. I hope that they will give him, you know, like, an honorary Oscar or, you know, because...
I hope they do. They were wrong for that.
You know, the body of work, I think, definitely supports that recognition and that honor. And I just think, you know, we're living in a, like, renaissance of, like, Black art. And I just think that, you know, even, like, Viola Davis, like, I really liked Nomadland. So I was, like, okay with Frances McDormand winning.
Right.
But I generally think that Viola Davis is under-recognized and under-celebrated. And she herself has talked about that. And so it can't only be, I feel like it can be both, that Black art doesn't need this sort of larger validation to be significant and for us to say that Chadwick and Viola are kind of the greatest of our generation. But it also is just, like, frustrating that, like, this is the standard and they more than exceed it and are not recognized.
100%.
So that's my mess.
100%.
My bless, I'm going to do two blesses really quick. My first is the Black Lady Sketch Show. If you've not seen the first season, it's on HBO. Second season just started. First episode was last Friday. And it is just a delight. Like, Robin Thede, Ashley Nicole Black, they are so funny. It's kind of it. And I think the humor is universal. And I think in a time of very, like, heaviness, it was nice. It's nice, yes, to have something funny and just to see Black women win. And that is really amazing. I'll give another recommendation of a show. I binge watch Rutherford Falls, which is about...
What channel is that on?
It's on Peacock. So I subscribe for a 7-day free trial for Peacock to watch Rutherford Falls. So because I'm such, yeah, a huge fan of Ed Helms and The Office and Parks and Rec, and it's kind of that same just kind of comedy, even though it's about an indigenous woman and then her white male best friend, and like the history we tell ourselves, the narratives we tell ourselves versus what is the truth. And I feel like this week when we have we've had a prominent figure erase Native Americans and indigenous culture and history and contributions, it is, you know, have a few laughs, but also see, you know, the flip side of that. Like, yep, tell the truth. And then my other bless is to my parents. Both my parents are fully vaccinated.
Yay.
Last year was their 40th wedding anniversary. They did not get to celebrate. But they are celebrating. They are going to Mexico to celebrate that. And then my mom's birthday. So I want to say, you know, a happy birthday to my mother. But also, it's so cute. They're going to Puerto Vallarta, which is where they did their honeymoon 40 years ago. And so, you know, I'm just very happy for them living that vaccinated life, best life on the beaches of Mexico.
We love to see it. We love to see it. Yes.
So that is, you know, there's life after getting vaccinated. There are mild side effects, but it's so worth it for the way in which, you know, just for them to be able to travel, not totally risk. I mean, they're masked up and the resort they're staying at is not at full capacity, but, you know, it's just, I'm happy for them. After a year of being cooped up and not getting to celebrate this huge milestone, I'm very happy that they're getting to do that.
I love it. I loved that. You know what? I'm glad you did that. So we could end just on a positive note. You all, I just want to thank you so much for listening. Remember to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Help us to get to 200 reviews. That would be amazing. Also, don't forget, you can join our Patreon community. Our patrons get to listen to the episodes a day early and commercial free, and have a special extended edition of Go Off Sis on some of them. And we also want to welcome our new patrons, Courtney, Kelly, and Andrea. We're so excited that you've joined us and you're supporting the podcast. Thank you so much. And we're also still $230 shy of our monthly podcast expenses goal. So we would love for you all to share our work with your family and friends, and help us to be able to meet that goal in monthly support so we can continue the Melanated Faith podcast. We do not get paid to do this. We do this because we love y'all. Like, y'all are family. Pull up. We love you
so much.
So please help us to be able to continue to deliver this content to you all, and continue to have thoughtful conversations with each and every one of you. With that being said, that's it for this week's episode. We love y'all and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes. Take care of yourselves. Be kind to yourselves. And we will see you next week.
Bye.